All right. Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon, everybody. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-2020-18. It is 1:33 p.m. on Friday, December 11th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Christman.
No opening comments here either. Thanks.
Okay. Before I turn it over to the portfolio holder, I just want to point out that this is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. And the applicant goes first. But again, as mentioned, I'm going to turn it over to the portfolio holder, and we'll go from there. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the intro. So the company had requested this route, I believe, of going more of an informal. We're talking about two pump stations that are outside of the certified, previously certified corridor, but you have, my understanding is, you have leases in the land, and it's a pretty modest amount of space. So that we were all open to talking about it, at least this way, and seeing how far we can get. So with that, I think I'll go ahead and turn it over to the company to walk through things. Victor, do you have anything you want to add on the front end?
Nope.
Okay, very good. I think that we still have a notice out for requests for comments or requests for hearing that runs through January 1st. And so any action we would take on this would have to happen after that. I think everybody understands that. And so if nobody requests a hearing, we can take action without one. And a lot of what we hear today, I think, will determine that. So, Wade, are you kind of leading the show here for starters? Should I turn it over to you?
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk and Commissioners Crotius, Christman, and Pat and Victor. With this being an informal, I guess, first of all, can you guys hear me okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Yeah, with it being informal, I guess it was our intention, not for me to call witnesses and have direct questioning, but I do have a number of folks from One Oak and One Oak's environmental consultant Mergent available. And what I intend to do is, I guess, have three individuals testify or just offer comments with respect to their various portions of the project. And looking at Joel Robidoux, will offer some comments with respect to project management and a general project overview. And then after he addresses any questions that the commissioners and staff might have, we can move on to Paul Hartsheim with Mergent. And Paul is responsible for the environmental work on this project, address that, and confirm what One Oak has done to ensure that no exclusion or avoidance areas will be impacted by this project. And then after that, Travis Ashby's on the line, and he can address any issues with respect to safety, leak detection, those types of issues, give a broad overview, and primarily be available for questions. But that's our intention. And just before I get in and get started with Joel, just kind of a procedural history with respect to the project. Like you said, Commissioner Fedorchuk, it involves two pump stations to be added to the existing Bear Creek NGL line, which extends through McKenzie-Dunn counties. That project was permitted in March of 2016. And then in January is when we filed the amendment to add these. The two parcels for the pump stations, they're, like you said, one of them, Stony Johnny Butte, is about approximately 5 acres. Big Gulch, approximately 7 acres. I will note that there is a slight typo in the application. It's correct in section one where we reference the acreages for the parcels, but in sections 5.0 and 5.3, it references a total acreage of 17 acres. That should actually be 12 acres. Just wanted to point that out for your reference. But then, yeah, this was initially intended to go to the informal hearing this spring, but with COVID and the impacts of COVID, that was continued. And now we're here today to kind of go over the project at a high level. And with that, Joel Robidoux will be the first witness to testify with respect to the project overview. And Joel, if you want to just go ahead and introduce yourself, your role with One Oak in the project, and just give us a high-level overview of the project.
Sure. Well, hello, all. I'm Joel Robidoux. I'm an operations engineer at One Oak, and I am the project manager for these two pump stations. Getting into the project scope, we're adding two pump stations along the Bear Creek NGL pipeline, which originates at the Bear Creek gas plant in Dunn County and terminates at an interconnect with the Targa pipeline in McKenzie County. These two pump stations are called Bear Creek, Big Gulch Pump Station and Stony Johnny Ute Pump Station. With the addition of these two pump stations, we're hit a capacity of that line of about 80,000 barrels per day whenever they're fully in production. Big Gulch Pump Station, which is located in Dunn County, is approximately a 7-acre parcel with 3.5 of those acres within this corridor previously stated. Stony Johnny Ute is in McKenzie County on approximately a 5-acre parcel with approximately 2.5 acres located within the existing corridor. The both pump stations, we have a parcel of land identified. Big Gulch is purchased, and we do own the Big Gulch site. Stony Johnny Ute is not purchased, so we do not own that site. We have identified a location. That site purchase was paused back at the beginning of the year when COVID hit, when these kind of projects were put on pause. So Stony is on pause as far as the obtaining the land up to this point.
Do you intend, Joel, do you intend to purchase the land or lease it?
You broke up there. I'm sorry. Can you
Do you plan to purchase or lease the land?
One Oak usually purchases land. Leasing land is, I think, out of our favor. So we intend to purchase.
All right.
With that, Big Gulch, kind of going into a little bit of local permitting. We did receive a conditional use permit for Big Gulch in Dunn County, so that has been done. Of course, McKenzie, we don't have the land yet, so we have not applied for that. Construction timeline for the pump stations, starting with Big Gulch. Big Gulch, we're looking at a construction start probably late Q1 to early Q2 of 2021, with construction ongoing and then finally putting the station in service at the end of Q4 or sometime in Q4 in 2021. That's our timeline for Big Gulch at this time. Stony Johnny Ute Pump Station, there's no timeline set now for construction, but we do, you know, continue to assess the needs for that additional capability that Stony Johnny would bring to the pipeline.
So, Joel,
speaking of need,
excuse
yes.
me, I have another question then. It doesn't seem like you're ready to even really talk about the permitting at Stony Johnny Butte. Because you don't have access. I mean, you don't have the land, and you don't have control of the land, and we can't permit land that. I mean, we can't permit it if you don't have control over that land, and or an easement or, you know, something that shows that you can construct this. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to moving forward on the other one. It doesn't sound like you're ready to go ahead with Stony Johnny Butte anyway, but. Your thoughts on that, and I guess I'd ask that question to our legal team and Victor too.
Can I want to just interject one thing really quick? If you're not speaking and anyone on the phone line, if you could mute your phones, we're getting some feedback, and I'm not understanding all the words always. So if you could just mute your lines if you're not speaking, that'd be great. It's still happening, maybe. Okay, well, we'll get through it.
Does Joel, do you have, are you called in and on the computer by chance?
Joel, are you called in and on the computer?
I'm just on a computer.
Okay.
Does it show me in two?
No, it doesn't, but you're, I think the echo is coming from yours.
Oh, maybe not.
I don't know. Steve?
It's not a showstopper for me. It's just, I thought it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Turn it up a little.
I'm guessing it's feedback between the speakers on the PC and the laptop.
Okay. Well, it just is what it is.
Okay. If you were... Our tech guy is saying if you reduce your volume, Joel, it might help. Of your speaker.
Turn it up or?
Okay. All right. Well, we'll press ahead.
All right. Getting back to, as I was right at the need, the additional capacity needed to accommodate.
Joel, we need to talk about the company's thoughts. And Wade, Brian, we don't have control over half of the pump station land. So are we, what's the plan for that? I mean, what's the company asking for in that regard on the Stony Johnny Butte? And what is our even capability?
Commissioner Fedorchuk, I think the One Oak is still seeking to site both parcels. While we haven't secured or closed on the parcel for Stony Johnny, I think that Joel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that is the parcel that you do intend to use for that pump station, and you have gone out and done all of the the environmental work, all of the studies necessary. It's just sort of the final, the final process of closing on that property once it's ready. Nothing's going to change with respect to that parcel, correct?
That would be the idea, yes, sir.
And it's not necessarily unusual to have a project like a pipeline, for example, to be cited and have an order issued before all of the easements, all right away, are secured. That there is precedent for that. That's not that uncommon, correct?
Well, yeah, you're right for sure. But on a pipeline that's several hundred miles long, or even 50 miles long, or so, to have one or two parcels seems a little bit different than half of what we're looking at here. But but that said, I guess I'm willing to go forward with the idea that we wouldn't probably actually make a decision until that is finalized.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, I mean, maybe part of it also is sort of administrative efficiencies, respect for the commission's time. That we've got everything put together. It's just a matter of purchasing that parcel. Nothing else is going to change. So, if we can come in and demonstrate that, we've done everything necessary with respect to siting, that there aren't going to be any cultural resource issues, natural resource issues, other environmental issues, everything's in place. It just seemed to One Oak maybe that, it makes sense to get this all sited and approved at once rather than wait until we close on the property, then come back and basically do this same exact hearing over again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It just, when Joel was talking, it sounded a little bit tentative in terms of the actual location, but maybe that was, I was interpreting that a little differently than he meant. So as long as you're talking about a specific area that you have identified and have studied, and that's, the company doesn't plan to change that, obviously.
That would be correct, and apologize if I made it sound that we didn't have a site picked for that, but we do. We have a site identified, and Paul can confirm that we've done our environmental studies for that site.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Ordinarily in a hearing, someone testifies and then we start asking questions. Is this being done less formally? Do you want them as we go?
Well, it's informal. It's okay. Not a hearing. So,
so then I'll throw it out. Not only, I mean, Commissioner Fedorchak, I agree with her point about missing a few easements on a long project is one thing, as opposed to entirely not having anything on half of the pump stations that we're talking about. But here's the bigger thing to me. It seems it's odd that one is purchased and the other one isn't. And I get your point, and I appreciate your point about administrative efficiency and just getting everything done at once. But for whatever reason that other station, the property for that other station isn't purchased yet, it seems like if we approve this, I can see a situation where a landowner is at kind of a disadvantage in negotiating when the company keeps emphasizing, but this is the site that the PSC approved, as opposed to that being done first. So that causes me some consternation that we're putting that landowner in a tougher bargaining position. Your thoughts, Joel?
Yeah, well taken. When we look at this and look at our hydraulic needs for the foreseeable future, we have internal discussions and dialogue based on, hey, which pump station is more important than the other one based on needs of the pipeline. And so when we look at, obviously when we put these two pump stations in, they probably won't be full blast when we first start, but there's a ramp up period. And so what happens is we decide this pump station is more important, so let's get this one first and build it first. That way it can meet our hydraulic needs in the interim while we're still building that second one. So I understand your point, though, about the landowner, but from the One Oaks side, it's more about fulfilling the needs of the hydraulic or the flow rate of the product going through the pipeline at any certain time.
Okay.
Victor, did you weigh in?
Excuse me. I didn't, so I guess I was having similar thoughts in that it's not uncommon for us to just write something into the order saying you can't start construction on a portion of a pipeline until all of either the easements or the purchases are in place. But I agree that it's odd. This is half of the project that we're talking about. I don't know of anything that stops us from doing it, but I also recognize Commissioner Christman's point. But honestly, I was kind of thinking of if I'm the landowner, the argument I would make in those negotiations would be to the opposite, actually, say telling the company that, this is already where you've chosen to put this, so you have no choice but to buy my land. That's me and what I would do in that position. Because so, honestly, think about...
Unfortunately for One Oak, you don't own the property.
Correct. But I was just kind of thinking through, I think this is a 5-acre site. I forget if this is the 5 or the 7 acre. But either way, what is the price of ag land in western North Dakota? $2,000-$3,000 an acre at most. So... No, I'm way off.
$1,400 to $1,600.
That's what I was thinking. But I was trying to be overly generous. But let's say $2,000 an acre times 5 acres. we're talking $10,000 for that site versus how much it costs the company to do studies and an application and filing fees. Again, this is me as thinking as if I were that landowner. You can either pay me $20,000 for this land, or you can spend another $50 picking out another site plus buying that land.
Yeah. I'm guessing this isn't relevant, that the price would be a little higher because it's a commercial plot, but that's between the company and the landowner, of course.
Certainly.
Well, and not to get too too hung up. I mean, I think that we can still talk through everything today, but it is an issue. And the other big difference between this and, say, a pipeline, which is, like, we've never done it in a wind farm. We would not have a hearing until the land was secured. And we've halted citing hearings for that purpose, for wind facilities, because it's voluntary. It's not, I don't know that there's an eminent domain possibility for you guys in this, but on transmission lines and pipelines, that's more of a possibility for companies to go that route if they can't get an easement. So, and this strikes me as being something that's, it's more voluntary for the landowners to agree or disagree. So, again, let's go through it and talk about it, but I do think that it would be best to have the land secured prior to us making a decision. That would be my preference.
I do have a question. Maybe it's for Brian, or thoughts that you might have, but can orders be, I mean, the order could be conditioned on securing the land, and I mean, if, I don't know, is it eligible for eminent domain? I don't think it is. Is it? Pardon?
Go ahead.
I guess that if they know, if the company knows, then I guess that's not something that I've looked into at this point. But yeah, making it conditional is easy, but when we've got two different pump stations, that adds a bit of difficulty to it, because usually you make it conditional and it's all or nothing. Like, it's conditional until you meet this step. Well, we're going to build one pump station, the other one's going to be conditional. What happens when that one fails then? There's probably a way to deal with that as well. I just haven't thought of it yet. But, yeah, there is a way that we can make conditionally move forward with everything and get it done that way.
All right.
I was just going to say that One Oak likes to avoid any sort of eminent domain type of procedures.
Yeah. Okay, carry on, Joel.
I apologize. I mean, this is a little bit different, too, than some of the scenarios that you referenced. I mean, it's essentially in an existing line, you know, where we already have the corridor and the route. It's just that, you know, with the size of these two pump stations, a portion of it extends beyond, you know, what we already have approval for. So, I mean, I think it's a little bit different than, and say, like a new pipeline or like a wind farm or something like that that you referenced.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's unreasonable to expect that the company would have some sort of an agreement with the landowner for that site on record before we made a decision?
I don't know. Joel, do you?
I guess, you know, how long does it take to make a decision first? I guess, what's the timeline there? Is it 60 days usually?
Well, could be sooner than that, but I would assume you've already talked to these people. You've been out on their land doing studies, so it must not be
correct.
Like, they must know what's happening or potentially happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Getting it closed in 60 days or soon might be a possibility, but I can't say that for certainty. I mean, right now there's no real hurdles that we have between us and the landowner. I think it's just those final negotiations and you know, to do it. You know, like was stated, you know, it was in process back in March. Then when all this hit, we kind of, you know, threw the brakes on that and paused it. So,
yeah. Well, even a purchase agreement or, you know, something of that nature.
And Randy? I will say, I can also see where especially if this is not on the edge, but even if it is on the edge of the person's property, I really wouldn't want to sell 5 acres out of the middle of my pasture, and then you can do whatever you want with it. But you might not build a pump station. Maybe you're going to build a house out there or something, you know, if it turns out you don't need the pump station. So I can also see the landowner's point.
point in potentially not wanting to go negotiate on this until you're sure you plan on building this pump station. So I don't know. I got to think about this some.
Okay. Well, there's room for discussion on that. It's just, and you guys can think about it and come up with some sort of a proposal too for how to show your intent to purchase that land and the landowner's willingness to sell it. I mean, that's really what I'm looking for.
I would just say that based on the aerials, based on the aerials of the location of Stony Butte, I don't think anyone's building a house there. But it could happen. It's right next to. I'm not sure what all this is, but it's industrial. It's something.
A lot going on there. So I bet it is more than 1,400 to 1,600 an acre.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've talked about this enough. Let's proceed with the rest of your presentations.
If I may interject, this is Michael Daly, and I'm in-house counsel with One Oak. Two things I wanted to note. One, we are leasing as opposed to purchasing the property. I think Joel had suggested we would purchase it earlier. We are leasing that. And two, I'm in communication with our real estate attorney in a sidebar conversation trying to get documents. She made it sound like we actually do have both sites under contract. So I'm trying to get those in my possession, and I'll get those to Wade as soon as possible to confirm or follow up on that point. But we may actually have solved that issue already, but stand by and more to come on that. So just wanted to pass that along.
Thank you, Michael. I remember reading that in your application somewhere a few weeks ago when we were first making a motion on this, that the both parcels. So anyway, that would be consistent with what I understood to be happening earlier. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Moving on. So the need for these is additional capacity needed to accommodate volumes from the Bear Creek gas plant. This expansion allows one to utilize existing infrastructure and minimize the capacity that would otherwise be associated with the construction of a new pipeline. So, and then, of course, we will always comply with PSC's orders. So that's really all I had there, Wade, on that.
Thanks, Joel.
Can I ask one follow-up to Joel, please? And I know you said this, but could you just repeat so I understand it? Is it Big Gulch would be built first, followed by Stony Johnny Butte? And
yes.
Okay, and then the second question is, who came up with the names? Sounds like it's out of a Western movie.
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I was kind of handed those names, and I liked them myself. So.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Commissioners, I guess if nobody has any other questions for Joel on the general project, Paul Hartsheim with Mergent, One Oak's environmental consultant, will go next and give an overview of the environmental issues and touch on exclusion and avoidance issues.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Wade. Oh, I do have one or two more questions for Joel.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
I would like to ask him a question as well.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. So, Joel, do you both of these pump stations are enclosed, correct?
If you mean as enclosed as the pumps themselves, yes, that is yes. There is a building over the pump area.
Okay, good. So, and how far away from landowners? Like nearby landowners, are they?
Big Gulch is about right around half a mile, a little more than half a mile away. And then Johnny Butte would be about over a quarter of a mile away.
Okay, so the quarter mile is the closest then. And correct. Do you have any, and maybe this is for Paul to talk about the noise from those. Would that be you, Paul?
I think I can answer that. Okay. So, go ahead, Paul.
I was trying to unmute myself unsuccessfully. I was going to see if you were able to address that, actually. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, so these pumps, you know, they're smaller pumps than some of our other sites. So the noise issue, you know, we comply with OSHA standards and API standards as far as outside of the fence. We keep it under 85 decibels. Does not feel like there should be any issue with these pumps here. They're, like I said, they're 2,000 horsepower pumps, and they're enclosed in a building. We don't feel like noise is going to be an issue at all.
Okay.
This is Paul. Maybe just to add on to that just a little bit, in particular at Stony Johnny Butte, someone already kind of noted the industrial development to the west of the site. I'm personally not familiar with what that is, but I'm envisioning that there's probably some existing background noise from that facility that potentially could be more significant than anything from Stony Johnny. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
All right. You haven't had noise complaints at similar type pump stations in other areas?
Anything? No, not in these other areas. Yeah, anything north of Kansas, we put a building over anyway. So.
Yeah. Okay. And is the purpose of the building largely to mitigate the noise, or does it have like insulation and that type of thing to help mitigate noise?
It not necessarily insulation to help mitigate noise, but it does. You know, anything north of Kansas gets a lot of weather, snow, and so when our operators, you know, have to go out there and work on these buildings and so, or on these pumps, and so they protect it from the weather.
Got it. All right, Pat.
Yes, I think the commission is, you know, more interested about the construction at sites where the company is going to be leasing the property versus owning it. And so I was wondering if Joel could describe the construction activity. You know, what do you do with the piping, and how do you leave the property, or how do you finish the property at the end of the construction?
Sure, I can speak to that. So there's usually at One Oak, you know, we have different sorts of ways we do hire construction and construction contracts. Most of the time with pump stations as these, there's not a GC that runs the site. One Oak usually is pretty involved with the build of the site, with all phases of it. So we would first call in a grading contractor. They would come in and grade the property. Once they graded the property, we would then bring in our concrete contractor to dig foundations, piers, and whatnot to for the concrete. And they would then start a mechanical process of installing pipe. Sometimes the pipe, of course, field welds are always made on site. Sometimes the pipe spools are made off site and then brought in, and just a few field weld ups. Kind of depends on how, you know, weather and things treat us. Also, if we have the land or the room to weld up on all the spools on site. Of course, once the pipe is installed, we, you know, call in the electrical contractors to kind of start installing, you know, wiring conduits and that and such like that. One Oak has a practice of with our sites, with these sites here, they have a practice of bringing our fence in from the property line, so we don't put our fence exactly on the property line, but it is close to the property line. We leave a little bit of buffer there between the fence and the property line. We rock all the way to the fence line and just outside of the fence line, so inside of our sites is fully rocked with usually about 6 inches of rock. I'm not trying to get into too much detail here, but you know, We don't like any grass to be growing inside the pump station, you know, for safety and such like that. So we do have a 6-foot barbed wire fence around the property or around the site as well. So hope I didn't get into too much detail there. Did I kind of answer what you were looking for there?
Yeah, I do have a follow-up, though. In order to control the weeds on the property, a lot of times you'll use some kind of a sterilant. Do you have plans for, you know, making sure that that sterilant doesn't run off onto the surrounding area?
Joel, I can step in on this if you like. Yeah, this is Paul. I was kind of planning to speak to this a little bit in my portion of this testimony. We did complete, as part of our natural resource surveys, which were done in fall of 2019. They did look for knotweeds at both stations. Big Gulch came back pretty much clean. It's just your kind of standard cultivated crop parcel, so there were no weeds identified at that location. Stony Johnny Butte, there were some patches of Canada thistle that are out there. As Joel mentioned, the fact that the sites will be fully graveled and fenced, and access to the sites will be, you know, from public roads that I believe are graveled. You know, once the site is developed, we don't anticipate really any spread of noxious weeds. And even during construction, the fact that you're just going to have equipment coming from public roads into a discrete location that's kind of controlled. I don't think we anticipate there's really going to be any issues.
Well, after like a period of years, let's say 5 years, you may have weed growth on the property or on the at the pump station site. And that was more what I was thinking about. If you spray sterilants then, and if there is a rainstorm and you have runoff, is there any way of that you'll be keeping the runoff from encroaching into the agricultural properties?
Yeah, I'll defer to Joel and maybe some of the other one-off folks who have more background on the operational side of things, how these sites are managed once they're fully constructed and operational.
Yeah, of course I'm on the build side of things, but you know, from my knowledge, you know, they do spot spraying, you know, just here and there spot spraying. When we grade the ground, we do a pretty good compaction there. Not a lot of things grow, but I agree there will be things that grow there later on. But there's just minimal spot spraying from my knowledge of that.
Thank you. Oh, one other question, I guess. In the application, did you discuss anything about decommissioning on these areas?
Can you repeat that?
Sure. You know, at the end of the life of the pipeline, those facilities, would they be decommissioned? Was there anything in your application that discussed how you would decommissioning the facility?
I don't know, Wade was, I'd have to refer to maybe Wade or...
Pat, I don't think there's anything specifically in the application that relates to decommissioning.
Okay, thank you.
I have just a couple of follow-ups, if that's okay. Joel, I think I heard you say you're going to put up a 6-foot, I thought you said barbed wire fence. Did you mean chain link?
I did. I mean, chain link fence with usually barbed wire on top.
Right.
Three strands on top. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then you're not talking about modifying the route of the pipeline? The pumps would go in line with the existing route?
Correct. Yep. Yep. Okay. So, of course, there is a small leg that would be brought off the pipeline to go to the station valves, but it's going to be, within, several feet. I mean, it's not hundreds of feet away. It's just right there by the pipeline that we would be putting these valves that would go then to the pump station.
Sure. Sure. So it's just that you would put in a valve on the existing pipeline route that takes it into the pump station and then back out into the same route.
Correct. There's a valve on the inlet side of that and on the discharge side of the pump station going to the pumps, going to the pipeline.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay. Just one more point of clarification. Just I found where I read in your application that it was going to be leased land. And it's in the letter that accompanied the application on page 3 where it's under description. It actually states there that both the parcels will be leased. So you all might want to just clarify that. It sounds like Michael's already working on that. Clarify that for the record when you get the details.
Will do.
Okay. I think we're done with Joel now.
Paul, you want to go ahead then and just introduce yourself and your role on the project?
Sure. I'll give a little intro about my role and just for the benefit of everybody, just kind of walk through kind of the environmental work that was done previously and part of our application and supplemental filing. So, good afternoon. I'm Paul Hartsheim. I work for Mergent in Minneapolis. I have a bachelor's degree in environmental science and a master's in water resources from the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities. I'm a consultant to One Oak and work closely with their team on the application for this project. Just to kind of summarize and recap, so both pump station additions were included in the original 1 mile study area that was evaluated in the Bear Creek NGL pipeline application. Just for the record, that's PSC docket PU15801. I think Wade mentioned previously it was approved in March of 2016. In support of this application, additional natural and cultural resource were conducted in October and November of 2019, and both stations were evaluated with respect to the PSC's siting criteria. In our review and evaluation stations, there are no exclusion or avoidance areas within the boundaries, and the project is not anticipated to have any impact on these resources. In addition, One Oak plans to utilize an environmental inspector during the project to monitor construction activities for compliance. I'll talk a little bit now about what was done with respect to cultural resources for the project. One Oak commissioned KLJ to complete cultural resource investigations of both station locations. In November of 2019, KLJ conducted a Class 3 field survey of the Big Gulch location and did not record any sites eligible for listing on the National Register. They also conducted a Class 1 literature review of Stony Johnny Butte, and they noted that parcel had been surveyed for cultural resources at least 6 times since 2015, and no cultural resources were recorded during any of those surveys. And given the lack of given the previous surveys and lack of resources at Stony Johnny Butte, KLJ recommended that further field evaluation was not warranted. In late December, One Oak submitted these results and the no effect recommendation to the North Dakota SHPO. On January 6th, they provided a written concurrence with a no effect, and that letter was provided to the PSC in February of 2020 under docket number 6. With respect to natural resources, One Oak also commissioned KLJ to conduct field delineation and surveys in November of 2019. No wetlands or water bodies were delineated at either location. And as such, the project is not anticipated to have impacts on aquatic resources. The natural resource report was filed with the amendment application, that's Exhibit C. That natural resource report also included an assessment for vegetation and wildlife. The Big Gulch site, as I mentioned previously, is entirely comprised of cultivated cropland, Stony Johnny Butte site has primarily non-native grasslands, no designated critical habitat or sensitive or unique habitat was noted at either location. In addition, there were no threatened or endangered species, migratory birds, or eagle or raptor nests identified during the surveys. And also our field survey for trees and shrubs to comply with the PSC's tree and shrub specs, and no tree or shrubs were identified at either location. As I mentioned previously, there were some patches of Canada thistle noted at Stony Johnny. Also, as previously mentioned, the site will be fully graveled and access will be via public roadways. Once the site is constructed, we don't anticipate it'll be an issue. Joel talked a little bit about spot treatment that can be done when the site station is operational. Finally, with respect to natural culture resources, we reconsult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the State Game and Fish and Parks and Rec Department as part of the application and soliciting comments. We did not receive any no unique issues were identified in any of the responses we received from any of the agencies. And copies of the agency responses were filed with the PSC in February under docket number 6. And that's kind of an overview of what work went into the application. And I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody might have.
This is Victor with staff. I think I saw in the application there would be no impacts to trees or shrubs as a result of either of these sites.
Yeah, that's correct. We did specifically have the field surveyors who conducted the natural resource surveys look for trees and shrubs, and they were noted as not being present. I believe that's stated in the natural resource report that was filed as Exhibit C.
Yep, I did see that in there, and I just wanted to confirm. That's all I had. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks.
Were both the sites previously disturbed through agriculture practices, or is there any native prairie on these two sites?
Yeah, the Big Gulch site has been previously disturbed, is cultivated cropland, has been for many years. I was flipping through some old aerials. The Stony Johnny site was described by the field surveyors as disturbed non-native grasslands. That was noted in their report. And in our conversations with the Fish and Wildlife Service, too, that was also noted that they were non-native grasses at Stony Johnny. So I don't know the full history of that site. It's been pasture land or what the previous land uses were, but it does not have native grasslands. Or native prairie.
I do recall reading that in the, I forget which of the agencies talked about it.
Yeah, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, I think.
Sounds right.
All right.
Yeah, that's correct. We had a little back and forth with them because I think they initially thought that there may be native prairies on the site or in the vicinity, and I think they had, we provided additional information to basically kind of correct and let them know that, you know, there were no native grasses or prairies within that site.
Yep. Actually, I think I found it. So yeah, it is in that one. And I think they noted that in your original letter that the proposed workspace includes areas of native prairie. And then they actually came back, the Fish and Wildlife Service said, we looked at this and it's not native prairie. So.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, our biologist back and forth with them, and I think the full back and forth was part of the agency consultations that we provided in that February submittal.
And you didn't hear back from Parks and Rec, it doesn't look like.
We did not. I was looking back at our records, so they typically will do a review of their natural heritage inventory. When we send in our letter to them, we send in a $60 check, which covers their time to run that review. I did confirm with our accounting folks that check was cashed. I also followed up with them a month or so after we submitted to see if they would be responding, and did not hear back from that follow-up. either. So we basically are assuming that with the lack of response that they don't have any concerns or did not find any records in their files.
Okay. I don't have any more questions for Paul.
I have one. Paul, when this was submitted almost a year ago, on page 10, it says that One Oak will develop a weed management plan based on county-level requirements. Is that done now? And if so, have each of these counties signed off on or approved the plans?
Yeah, sure. So we, as part of the conditional use permit process for Dunn County, which we just went through for the big station, I don't have it handy, but I believe there were plans that were developed for that application that were submitted. The county actually held a hearing for Big Gulch on Tuesday of this week, and the permit is officially in hand, but they made a motion to approve the application at hearing. So, I don't know if Joel or anyone else on the line can confirm if that permit has been formally approved, but the Dunn County process is complete or will nearly be complete. And as part of Stony Johnny, when we get to the county permitting for that project, I will be doing the same thing, developing, you know, weed and vegetation management plans as part of that application.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Pat, did you have any questions for Paul?
No further questions for me.
Do you know what how severe the Canada thistle infestation, or would that be a strong word? Was it a lot of, it might have been on the tilled land, it looks like. Both parcels. One is far more difficult to tell that at one point in time. Looks like a settler probably tilled it, but you can tell by the grass types, and if the experts can concur, no problem there, but how bad was the Canada thistle?
Yeah, thanks. That's a good question. I may have to, I don't know off the top of my head, disclaimer. And I don't recall if it's included on our map sets that are in the Natural Resource Report. They typically will take GPS points or, you know, delineate the patch where it's located. I can spend some time and look into that and follow up, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious if you're inheriting a problem that is correctable, but just curious.
Sure. Yeah, I'm just flipping through the report as we're talking, and there's a little bit in their narrative portion of the report that it's that it was located in patches. So I don't know if they're large patches or small, but that means to me likely not a full-blown infestation of the full site.
Okay, thanks.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, Wade, I think we're done with questions for Paul.
Great. Travis Ashby will be the last One Oak representative. And Travis, if you can just introduce yourself as well and just briefly touch on any safety spill response, those types of issues, just with a broad stroke, and then address any questions that the commissioners and staff may have.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Can everyone hear me okay?
Sound good.
Okay, so Travis Ashby, I'm the manager of Ransomware Compliance for One Oak. I've been with One Oak almost 7 years, and I'm talking about today, it is too different from a regulatory compliance standpoint and other projects that have been before this commission in recent years. These addition of these pump facilities on an existing pipeline will get rolled into our existing integrity management risk program, public awareness program, operations and maintenance manuals, emergency response plans. From a public awareness standpoint, the stakeholders and the landowners in this area have been receiving the literature we mail out since the pipeline was constructed. So it will really just integrate into our existing pipeline safety programs.
All right. So can you walk through the increase in volumes that this line will have once the pumps are added?
Joel or someone, correct me if I misspeak on this, but I believe the pumps will increase the capacity to 80,000 barrels a day.
And it's currently carrying about, what was it, 14,000?
Is that right, Joel?
It's right now somewhere in that range, I believe, so I don't have the number.
All right. So how does that impact the your preparations and staging of equipment and all that sort of thing? Or how do you account for that increase, Travis, for emergency response and monitoring, I guess?
Sure. So maybe from a monitoring standpoint, first, the addition of the pump stations really just gets built into the current spill model. So the spill model that's, constantly monitoring the pressure, the temperature, the density, and other things, it's monitored by our SCADA system and controllers in Tulsa, just becomes part of that system. To detect leaks, of course, we have other methods to detect leaks as well, as well as our air patrol program and other preventative leak programs, such as our integrity management program. So it gets included in all of those. And then from a spill response standpoint, so we do drills, tabletop drills. We meet with our emergency responders in the area, and details about the pipeline contents, the size of the pipeline, things like that get shared back and forth between the emergency responders and our operators. One of the things you mentioned was that, and so, I think it's probably worth pointing out that unlike an oil pipeline that has a release and the majority of the constituents remain a liquid and have to be cleaned up, with NGLs, when there is a release, the vast majority of the constituents, proper components of the NGL stream vaporize into a gas, and then a gas can form a vapor cloud, and it will dissipate depending on temperature, humidity, and wind, things like that.
So it really doesn't require a lot of equipment staging?
No, ma'am.
All right. Any other questions for Travis? Victor? Pat? Randy, do you have any?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So the landowners along the way, I presume, already get, as we've heard about it in some other hearings, maybe an annual update or something like that to remind them, and then you somehow keep track of changes of ownership so that the right people are being made aware of things to watch for, issues involving a gas pipeline and things such as that. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we have we call it our brochure mailing program, where we mail out literature to different stakeholders, excavators, emergency officials, public officials, and affected public, which is what the landowners or tenants would be. And so we partner with a third party who specializes in audience identification. And so they're really the experts in identifying both who owns the property and who may be a tenant on the property. It helps us make sure we reach those people.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Brian, Victor, have we covered what we need?
Yes. Between the application and what they've said here today, I think there's adequate information. The one other piece we need is the certification to order provisions. We had not sent out a copy of that for the company to sign. We'll do that.
And, okay.
I can't imagine there would be any issues with the company signing it and returning it to us prior to issuing an order.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if think it would be good to get that clarification on the leased land.
Yeah, Michael, any or Wade, any news on the status of the leases slash purchases?
Not yet. I was given, I've got a copy of the Big Gulch one in my inbox. Have not yet received the Stony Johnny one.
Okay.
As soon as I get that, I'll make sure Wade gets a copy of it.
And is the Big Gulch a lease or a purchase?
It is, in fact, a lease, yes.
It's a lease. Okay.
Yeah. And just in case you all are curious, I won't tell you the actual amounts, but your estimate on the payment cost, way, way, way low compared to what we paid for these. I think they might have had a little bit of leverage on us.
They might have known where the pipeline is.
Right. Good for them.
Well, and in addition to that, I mean, now we're talking about a lease as opposed to purchasing, but in either event, the numbers that we were bantering about, I knew where I, that's if you're buying large volumes
of egg
for egg use. But if you're going to part with a little parcel out of the middle of your property, of course you're going to expect much more per acre or per square foot than the overall value. So
yeah.
I'm going to retract my earlier statement on trying to sell Victor land. Anyone from One Oak, if you'd like to buy some land, please call me.
I'm sure it was a fair price for both sides.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other questions for these witnesses.
All right.
One other quick thing. Wade, I'm assuming you'll submit proposed findings.
Yes, that's correct. We will.
What kind of time frame you want for that? 2-3 weeks?
Michael, is that sufficient if we get proposed findings, proposed order in within a 2-3 week time frame?
From my perspective, absolutely. I don't think anything could happen until after January 1st anyway. So I think if we get that to the commission prior to January 1st, that would be great, so that hopefully they're ready to approve and we can move forward.
Sounds great. Does that work for you, Wade, January 1?
Yep, that works.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anything else, Commissioner Christman?
I have nothing else.
Okay. Just from a procedural standpoint, to close this out properly, the audio recording of this proceeding is now considered evidence. Are there any objections to this evidence becoming part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached? Mr. Johnson?
No objection.
And Mr. Mann?
No objection.
Then the evidence as presented is now a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Sensing none, this
on behalf of One
Oak. Okay, thank you. Okay, sensing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you, everyone.
Commissioner, sorry, do you want to check and see if there's anyone from the public on the bridge that wants to? There is none? Okay.
Yeah, there's no public.
Great. And I did check the our docket. We've received no comments or questions or requests up to this point. Obviously, we'll check again before an order would be issued, but to this point, there wasn't anything.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.